Today's shiur is Masechta Ksubos Daf Ayin, and we will begin on Daf Samach Tes Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara, Ilfa Tola Nafshi Biskaria de Mavusa. Ilfa balanced himself on the mast of a sail. The Gemara Masechta Tainus tells us that Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan were learning together, and they were in dire financial straits. So they decided, as the Torah says, Ephes Kilayir Becha Evyoi, that there should be no poor people amongst Klal Yisrael, that they would go out and try to earn a parnosah. And as they were going, and Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan were sitting, Rabbi Yochanan overheard two malachim having a conversation. And one malach was saying to the other malach, we should kill these two individuals. They're giving up Torah, they're giving Olam Haba for the sake of this world. And the other Malach said, no, one of these individuals is destined to be the Rosh Yeshiva, and therefore we shouldn't do that. Rabbi Yochanan asked Ilfa, did you hear anything? Ilfa says, I didn't hear anything. So Rabbi Yochanan said to himself, if I heard and Ilfa didn't hear, that must be I'm the one that's going to be appointed the Rosh Yeshiva. And therefore Rabbi Yochanan turned around to Ilfa and said, there's another pasuk. The pasuk says, "Tlo yechtal evyoin mikerev ha'aretz." There will always be poor people. And therefore he turned around to Ilfa and said to Ilfa, it seems that I will go back to learn. And Ilfa said, no, I'm going out to the sea, I'm going out to the world to see if I can make a living. And that's what happened. Rabbi Yochanan returned home, was appointed Rosh Yeshiva, and Ilfa went out to do business. Ilfa comes back and he sees that his colleague Rabbi Yochanan was appointed to be the Rosh Yeshiva. And he said, I really am a greater Talmud Chacham than Rabbi Yochanan. Had I been here, I probably would have been appointed to this position. And he wanted to prove that even though he left the Koisle HaBeis HaMedrash, he still did not forget any of his learning. And that's where the Gemara begins. Ofa Tala Nafshei Beskari De Bavusa. He stood up on the mast of the sail and he said, Omar, Ika De Osi De Omali Milsa De B'chir Reb Oishia. If there will be anyone that could come and repeat to me a brisa of Seber B'chir Reb Oishia, which we know are considered in Shas the most authoritative brises, V'lo Pashtin Olam Mesnisen, and I won't be able to find from a source in the Mishnah for such brisa, Nefilna Miskari V'Tavana, I will fall from the mast and drown in the sea. So the Mefarshim asked, the Ben Yoyada asks, how could he commit suicide just because he doesn't know the answer to a shaila? Ben Yoyada explains that Ilfa was a master swimmer, and he was certainly aware that he could swim and would not drown. But he wanted to make the point that he remembered his learning. Also, who saw a tanalei? So a tana, an elderly person, came and asked the following brisa, asking Ilfa, what is the source for this brisa? And the Mefarshim asked, even if we explain that Ilfa was confident that he would not drown, that he could swim, how did this person take it on his own responsibility to ask Ilfa a question? Obviously, he considered it a difficult question, and take the chance that Ilfa won't know the answer and will jump into the sea. So the Chasam Sofer explains that this Saba, as many times in Shas, when we have Ahu Saba, it actually means Eliyahu HaNavi. And in the Gemara we're going to learn now, we see a concept of a father trying to teach his children to live on a limited budget. A father trying to teach his children what's important is not worldly goods. What's important is not Olam Hazeh. What's important is to live in this world in a more limited fashion, but to have Torah mitzvahs. And the point this Sabu was trying to make was that even though Ilfa went out to business, he too recognized what was most important. He as the Brisa we're going to learn, recognize what is the important aspects of life and what are the not important aspects. And he said, Haimer, if somebody says to his trustee, Tanu shekel banim b'shabbos, he's going to leave over an estate, and he says that my children should receive an allowance of a shekel per week. However, a shekel is inadequate. The cost of living is much higher than a shekel a week. Says the Braisa, nice lam sala, they should get the sala. However, if he used the terminology, vim ama al titnu lahem el shekel, I only want them to receive a shekel, then the halacha is a nice lam el shekel. Since the father used the words el shekel, we only give them a shekel. And as machlokes we showed him how to understand this din, Rashi says that since the father used the words el shekel, that's all they're entitled to from the estate, and even if it won't be enough to live on, the halacha will be that they should collect staka if they have no other way of supporting themselves. Even though Rashi asks that we learned earlier on Daf Mem Ches that if a father was passing away, was dying, and he wrote and said that I don't want my estate's money should be used for my burial cost, that the halacha is that those that they do take the money out of the estate. A father can't demand that the stalkers support his burial. Says Rashi, we can't compare a burial, which refers to the person and his own money, versus a different situation where it's referring to the children. Other Rishonim disagree with Rashi, and they say that if the children try to earn a living as best as they can, and moreover they live in a modest way, and still the amount of money that the father left them is just not enough, say those Rishonim, that under, even if the father used the words El Shekel, we would give them more. However, if the father said, Vim Omar, and Mesu Yerush Acherim Techteim, if he said that after my children pass away, I don't want the remainder of my estate to pass on to their Yorushim, to their children, rather I want the remainder of my estate to go to other individuals, then the halach is Ben Shama Tnu, Ben Shama El Tnu, whatever wording he used, Einos Mel Shekel. Because whatever we will give them extra is at the expense of these other individuals. Amalei, so he asked Ilfa Hamani, who is the town of this Braisa? So Ilfa responded, Rameyihi. This represents the opinion of Rameya. Dama Mitzel Kaim de Rameis. Rameya, just like he said in our Mishnah, that if the father left instructions for the Sholish that he should buy property with his money and not give the money to his daughter, those instructions have to be fulfilled. So to here, the instructions of the father have to be fulfilled. Tysus points out that we have two concepts that we find in Shas. One is the concept of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis, and another is the concept of divrei shchimera kiksuvim and kumasurim domi. And Tysus tries to probe what is the nafkamina, the halachic nafkamina between these two concepts. And a number of nafkaminas are offered by the Rishonim. One nafkamina is that a shchimera doesn't have to have his wishes be conducted by a third outside party. What he says is what he wants and what should happen, even if he didn't request an outsider to fulfill them. Mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis, as our Gemara is implying, is only when there's a sholosh, when there's a trustee, that the meis is asking to fulfill his wishes. Another nafkamina is that by a shchimera, he doesn't have to use the words tnu, give. Just making clear what he wants is adequate. On the other hand, by a meis, he has to be much more explicit, saying, like in our Gemara, we just had tenu. A third nafkamina will be in the following situation. Let's say the shchimera said that he wants something from his assets to be given to a specific individual. And Rachman Letzlon, before the shchimera passes away, the person who he wanted to receive this item passed away. The halacha will still be divrei shchimera kiksuvim kumasurim dami, and this person, he's no longer here, so his yorshim will receive those assets. On the other hand, mitzvah kaim devar meis only comes into play after he dies. And therefore, if the person who he wanted should receive these items passed away before him, then the words he said are meaningless. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Mar Ukva, Hilchasad Aloch is, Bein Shama Tnu, whether the father used the terminology give, or Bein Shama Al Tetnu, or whether he even used the stronger wording, only give them a shekel, the Aloch is, Noisun Lem Kotzarchem, we give them everything they need. Ask the Gemara, Hakaim Lan Aloch Kremeya, but we know that Aloch is like Remeya, Dara Mitzvah, Bekaim De Remeis, and here the father gave clear instructions, he only wants a shekel to be given under all circumstances. Answers the Gemara, Hani Mil B'Minach Reneser. This rule of mitzvah kaim devar meis applies in other situations. Abahab, in this case, even if the father said, I only want a shekel given to these yarshim menach nichala, he's really satisfied that they should get more if they have no other means of support. So v'hadar mahachi, why did he use the strong wording, which certainly seems to send the message that he only wants a shekel under all circumstances? Says the Gemara, l'rezer zinu hudasa. All he intended to do was to get them, have an incentive, to get them, have an incentive on their own to support themselves and not rely on his money. But certainly, if there will not be any other means of support for them, he will agree that his assets can be used to support them. Continues the Gemara. Tanan Hossam. We learned in the Mishnah Masech Gittin, Haputis, young children. And as the Gemara Masech Gittin explains, we know that a child, a boy is bar mitzvah by 13, she becomes a gadol. A girl becomes a gadolah by bas mitzvah when she's 12. However, the Gemara says, Haputis, children, when they get closer to that age and are more intelligent, have the ability to affect certain business transactions. And as the Gemara and the Rishonim explain in Masechta Gittin, a child below 6 years of age is never considered mentally mature enough that he could affect this kind of a business transaction. The Gemara discusses there that the ages are typically 8 or 9 years old, depending on the maturity of the child. There is a machloikas rishonim, what will be the halacha when a child is above 10 years old. The Torah holds that under all situations, he is considered intelligent. Other rishonim disagree and say that even above 10, we have to evaluate the child's intelligence. So the Mishnah says, "Masech to get naputos, mkom mecha mecha mekar mecher." They have the ability to buy and sell the metatlin, movable property. Amra Afram, loishan el shen shematrapus. When does a child who's a yosim have this ability to do this? If the father did not appoint an administrator, avam yeshem apatrapus. If the father appointed an administrator, ein mecha mecha veim mekar mecher. It's the administrator who affects these transactions, not the children. Ask the Gemara, Mamai, what is the source for this thing? Says the Gemara, Mamatani, our Mishnah said that after your father appointed a shalish, a masak tanaklum. Even Rabbi Yossi agrees that the child cannot affect the transaction. Ask the Gemara, V'dilma hechadik a shalishani. And as the Rishonim explained, there's a difference between a shalish and an apotropos. A shalish is someone who is appointed to carry out a specific task. As in our Mishnah, he was appointed by the father to buy the property for the daughter instead of her spending the money or giving it to her husband. An apotropos is not someone who is appointed with any specific task. He's the administrator to take care of the children's needs, but not that he has to, was given a specific instruction. So the Gemara is suggesting maybe only in the situation where the father instructed the trustee to carry out a specific task, there is the halacha that the children cannot do business transaction. But if there's an apotropos, maybe they can. Answers the Gemara, if that would be the din, in Cain Listeni, then the Mishnah should have used the wording, let the trustee do The fact is, the issue being, because there's a shalish. Why does the Mishnah use the words, my a masik tanakulam? So Mishnah's not reflecting who is the administrator. Is he an administrator? Is he an apotropos? Or is he a shalish? The Mishnah's focusing on the fact that the child, that she's still only a child. Shema mina, feel ba'alma. It makes no difference if there's an apotropos, or makes no difference if there's a shalish. In those cases, the pu'utais, even if they're pu'utais, cannot do their own business transactions. They should rely on the apotropos or on the shalish. Hanu lach matiyasa isha, hanu lach matiyasa isha, hanu lach matiyasa isha. Says the Mishnah, hamadis ishta melhenes loy ad shloshim yoyim. If somebody makes a neder that his wife should not have benefit for him for 30 days. And we have here a fundamental machlokes rishayim, exactly what is included in the neder. Rashi says that the neder the husband is making is really a neder that the wife should have no benefit from him at all. Not tashmish, not mezoinis, not being supported, no benefit. However, the neder for tashmish cannot be chal because he has a prior obligation to support her, to have tashmish with her. If so, you could ask the same question. So he has an obligation to support her. Why is the neder chal regarding that? That's actually the Gemara's question. Taisus disagrees, and Taisus says that the entire intent of the neder in the first place was only regarding support, not regarding tashmish. The Mefarshim ask, according to Rashi's explanation, that the neder was both on tashmish and all other benefit that a wife could have from a husband. So the question is, we have a rule, neder shehuta miktsasoi huta kulai. If part of the neder becomes nullified, the entire neder is abolished. So here, if part of the neder is not valid, shouldn't that invalidate the entire neder? So I saw two turutsim. The flaw says that this concept of neder shehuta miktsasoi huta kula is only said where there was a mistake. Part of the neder was considered a neder betos. And there the halacha is that neder shota mektsasa hota kula. However, where the neder is nullified because of a halachic consideration, like we're explaining, that one can't make a neder that is not that his wife should not have tashmish from him. So it's a halachic reason that nullifies part of the neder. There we don't say the rule of neder shota mektsasa hota kula. Other, the Shaar Melech says a different teretz. He explains that actually, since, as we learned also earlier in the Masechta, he made a nether, a kainim, which we explained earlier, is a very strong type of nether. The nether should really halachically be a valid nether. Just Chazal told us that they wanted to strengthen the wife's rights, and therefore they said that they don't let the nether be chal as far as tashmish is concerned. So since it's only what Chazal gave a special authority, a special power to the wife, that there we won't apply neder shota miktsasa hota kula. So Mishnah says, what should he do under these circumstances? Yamet panis, he should take somebody, a person to take care of his wife, and he will support her. However, yes mikan, if the neder is for longer than 30 days, yoytzev yitin ksuba. The halach is that he has to give the ksuba, he should divorce her and give a ksuba. And as Taisus quotes two shitas harishayinim, what does the Mishnah mean when it says the words yoytzev yitin ksuba? One opinion, the opinion of the Ri, is that we compel the husband to divorce the wife under these circumstances. The other opinion is, not that we compel the husband, but if the wife says she can't accept this type of arrangement, then the Beis Din tells the husband, you have to divorce and pay the ksuba. The Rishonim, the Rosh, asks that we learned earlier on Daf Samach Dalid that a husband could set up a wife that they never live in the same apartment. And that could be indefinite. The Mishnah there didn't discuss any time frame. Why over here is the halacha that there's a 30-day limit? So the Rishonim explained that that Mishnah is referring to a situation that she there was she accepted it, and moreover, it wasn't done in the form of a neder. Since it wasn't done in the form of a neder, it's not as embarrassing, as we're going to learn in the Gemara actually. But when a husband makes such a neder to his wife, it's quite embarrassing, and that's why there's this 30-day limit. The Mefarshim also asked, if he made a neder that she's not allowed to have any benefit from him, so how could he pay the ksuba when they get divorced? She's not allowed to have any benefit from him. So one teretz that the flaw gives, that the neder was only made for while they're married. While we're married, I make a neder that you can't have any hanor from me. But for when the marriage is over, the neder is no longer a neder either. Another teretz that the Avni Milum gives, very similar to the teretz that were used regarding Tashmish. The obligation to pay iksuba comes the day that they got married. And that obligation can never be abolished. And therefore, he has to pay the ksuba even if this neder is in place. There's a very interesting point that Ritvaz makes. Ritvaz says, if we see in our Mishnah, and we're going to learn the Gemara soon, that this neder is somewhat effective, so he asks, we learned earlier in our Masechta that if one was ma'anis, if one was violated a woman, Torah says v'loy siya li'isha. He has to take that woman as a wife. And Ritvaz asks, what would be the halacha if the man will make a neder that this woman, who I'm supposed to take as a wife, is also to me? Will the neder be chal or not? So Ritvaz answers, and Rabbi Kivega actually says that it's a Yerushalmi. He says, the reason the neder in our Mishnah is effective is because there's always an ability anyway for the marriage to be terminated, that they could get divorced. Therefore, says Dretvaz, that we allow the neder to be chal, to be effective. However, says Dretvaz, and I said, Rabbi Kivega says it's actually Yerushalmi, in a situation where they can't get divorced, where there are no other options to halachically, legally terminate the marriage, Torah says v'loy siya li'isha, there the din will be that the neder is entirely not effective. Rabbi Yehuda says the following, be Yisrael, in the case of Yisrael who made such a neder, that loch is chodesh echad yikayim, and she keep his wife for 1 month, and v'shnayim, once the second month comes and the neder is still there, yoytz v'yitin ksuba. By a kayin, who we know the halach is that if a kohen divorces his wife, he cannot take her back anymore. Kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha. So therefore we extend the time, and the halach is shnayim mikayim. After 2 months, they should stay together. V'shloisha, if the neder goes for 3 months, then the halach is yoytz v'yitin ksuba. Says the Mishnah further, Hamader is ishtoy, shloititim echem mikol mina peres. If somebody makes a neder that his wife is not allowed to eat any fruit. And here, Tosfos, it's actually Tosfos on Daf Ayin Aleph, Amar Aleph points out that the neder here is certainly not a neder that the husband makes that the wife's not allowed to eat any fruit. And there are two reasons why that neder is not an effective neder. One, Tosfos says that it's an impossibility for one to survive without eating any fruit. And therefore, Tosfos says it's similar to what the Gemara Masechta Nedarim discusses, that someone made a neder he won't sleep for 3 days. A person can't survive without sleeping for 3 days, and therefore the neder is not a neder. Here too, this neder, not to eat any fruit, is not valid. Moreover, the Rishonim point out, I can make a neder that you can't have benefit of something that's mine. I cannot make a neder that someone can't have benefit from something that's not mine. So how could a husband make a neder that a wife won't eat any fruit? He doesn't own all the fruit in the world. She could eat fruit that's not his. And therefore, Tosfos explains that the neder was that if she will eat fruit, then she can't have any benefit from him, or they can't have relations together. So even though he didn't explicitly say that she's not allowed to eat any fruit, because the point of the neder is really that he's trying to say that she can't have benefit from him. He just couching the words in this way. Another explanation is not that the husband initiated the neder, because as we said, a husband can't initiate a neder that a wife can't eat any peiros. What it meant was that the wife made the neder and the husband was mekayim, the husband confirmed the neder, and our Mishnah, and we're actually going to discuss this concept in tomorrow, Shir Be'ezer Hashem, that since the husband was the one that confirmed the neder, it's considered as if he made the neder. So says the Mishnah, Hamadas ishtus leititim echmikala peiros, that she shouldn't eat any peira. The loch is, yoytiv eating ksuba. He has to divorce her and give her a ksuba. Says Rabbi Yehuda, be Yisrael, when the husband was a Yisrael, yoy mechid yikayim, if the net is only for one day, they should stay together. Shnaim, if it's for 2 days, yoytiv eating ksuba. And by Kohen again, where we tried, we don't have the option that he could take her back as a wife. The loch is shnaim yikayim, for 2 days we keep them together, but shloisha by 3rd day, yoytiv eating ksuba. Continues the Mishnah, Hamadis ishtoi shloit tiskashe be'echel kol minim, that she shouldn't put on a type of perfume. Yoytiv eating ksuba, he has to divorce and give the ksuba. Rabbi Yosi, I'm a bin. When is this the halacha by a poor person shloit nosla kitzva if there was no limit given to this neder? Or bashiris, if the neder was for shloishim yoyim, then the neder is not an effective neder. Ask the Gemara, the kiva the meshubad law. It, since the husband, as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, the husband's making a neder that the wife's not allowed to have any benefit from him, ask the Gemara, the kiva the meshubad law, since the husband is obligated to support her, heicha matza madala, how could he make such a neder? Kol kvinei the mafkali l'shibudai, does the husband have the power to abolish the obligation? But now we learned in the Mishnah, we spoke about this Mishnah many times. If a woman makes a neder, you're not allowed to have any benefit from me. The husband doesn't even have to annul that neder. It's totally meaningless because he has rights to those earnings. Alma. So what do we see from that Mishnah? Kivin the Mishabdalei, since she is obligated to give him what she earns, lav kol kminei the mafgul shibudei, she can't make a neder to abolish that right. So hachinami, so going to our Mishnah, kivin the meshubala, since the husband is obligated to support his wife, lav kol kminei the mafgul shibudei, how could he abolish that neder, and how could the neder take effect? And Rashi explains that our Gemara is going according to the Man D'Omer that holds that the obligation of a husband to support a wife is midaraisa, and therefore the neder should not be effective. Ella, says the Gemara, mitach shiyach alamila, since a husband could say to the wife, tzi mas yodecha b'mazanasecha, I won't support you, and I won't, and you could keep your earning. Nasak Aymala, so when he makes this neder, it's as if he said, Tzi Masi Adecha B'menazan Asecha. And it's if it's included in the neder is that he said, you keep your earnings. If you keep your earnings, I'm not obligated to support you. If I'm not obligated to support you, the neder is chal. Ask the Gemara, Vim Islahadar of Huna Merav. If we know that what Rabbi Huna Merav said is correct. As we've learned, there's a machloikis Rehuna and Reshlokish. According to Rav Huna, this concept that the husband supports the wife and the wife turns over her earnings to the husband, Rav Huna says, was really done for the benefit of the wife, that she should always have a means of support. According to Reshlokish, it's not necessarily that way. But ask the Gemara, according to Rav Huna Merav, a woman could tell a husband, I'm not going to take support from you, and I will not give you my wages. So why, when a woman makes the neder, that whatever I earn shouldn't be, you shouldn't have a lot of benefit, am I in a tzarech lahafer? Why is he not supposed to annul the neder. Lema, one we say, v'tach shiocha loyme ein zaynus v'ein oisa. Since she has the ability to say it, so when she made this neder, it's knas kamisha oimer ein zaynus v'ein oisa. It's as if she said it. So just like an Al-Mishnah was saying that the husband, when he makes this neder, we have to assume that what he's saying is that I'm not asking you for your wages and therefore I don't have to support you. Why don't we say in the other Mishnah that we quoted, when the wife made the neder, that the husband's not allowed to benefit from her? We should assume what she meant when she said that neder is, I will keep my wages, I don't need your support. And therefore, the nether should be effective, and the husband should go and be made for the nether. Ella, says the Gemara, don't say that we assume that's what he meant. We don't assume anything. And therefore, if the husband did not say explicitly, see, we don't say that's what he meant. And similarly, if the wife didn't say, we don't say that that's what she meant. Even though Tosfos points out that we quoted earlier in our Masechta the opinion of Rameya, Dein Adam Moitzei Dvar Vatola, and therefore we try to reinterpret what he says. So how come over here don't we just say that this follows the opinion of Rabbi Meir and say that that's included in what she says? So there are two answers given the Rishonim. One answer is that this concept of Ein Adam Moitzei Dvar Vatola is only said regarding Hegdish. Here we're not talking about Hegdish. And another Teretz is that Ein Adam Moitzei Dvar Vatola can only take the words that were said and interpret them. But Ein Adam Moitzei Dvar Vatola cannot add words. So to add that the husband says, see Masi Yadechav V'Zayin Asecha, to say that the wife is saying, Ein Adam Zayin Asvein Oysa, when they did not say those statements at all, that Ein Adam Moitzei Dvar Vatola does not have the ability to do. Rather explains our Gemara, the way to understand our Mishnah is, Lo Teim L'Nasa, Ela Ba'Oimela. It's referring to a situation where the husband said to her, Tzi Masi Yadechav V'Zayin Asecha, I won't support you and keep your earnings. And as Rabbi Chanan explains, it's the way to understand this now is that when a husband says to his wife, Tzi Masi Yadechav V'Zayin Asecha, what he's essentially saying is that the entire obligation of support no longer is here. And since there's no obligation of support, that entire din, so to speak, is not relevant to our marriage. Therefore, the nether could be effective. Ask the Gemara if he made such a nether. And as we're explaining now, this nether is, we're considering a valid nether. So, ihacha parnas lomali. Then the question is, why does he have to take somebody to support her? Says the Gemara, b'dalai sapka. Because her earnings are not enough to support herself with. Ask the Gemara, he, b'dalai sapka. If her earnings aren't enough to suffice, then we're back to where we started. How could the husband make a nether that she should be on her own when he has an obligation to support her? Omer of Ashi, she does have enough for the important items, but not for the small items. Ask the Gemara, Hani Dvarim Ketanim Echidami. What does Dvarim Gdoilim mean? What does Dvarim Ketanim mean? Either Regila Buhu, if these are things that she requires, that's what she's accustomed to live, or that's, as we explained many times in Amasekhta, the standard of living of the husband, and the halach is if this is the standard of living of the husband, the wife has to follow the same standard of living, her Regila Buhu, then she's accustomed to them, and he has to supply them too. Vida Lai Regila Buhu, and if she's not accustomed to them, not she from her family, not he from his standard of living, so Parnas Lomeli, why does he have to supply it? Says the Gemara, Lai Tzricha, the Regila based Nasha, she is accustomed to have them when she was by her father. V'kamagalgabah hada. And now she got married to him, and he isn't as wealthy as her father, and it doesn't bother her that she doesn't have all these items. However, Darmalay, what she says, Ad hi'idna d'loya d'artun, till now that we had a regular marriage, you didn't make these kind of nadarms against me. Galgin abadach. That's part of life that I'm living with you, even if it's not the same standard of living as I had with my father. However, you brought this concept into our marriage, where you're making the dorim that I'm not allowed to have benefit from you, says the wife to the husband. Now I'm not willing to forgo these things, and therefore the husband has to look for supply. But as the Rishonim explain, so if so, why is the nether chal? So the answer is, since the main items she does have a way to have from, and moreover, she's not always asked for these dvarim ktanim, just because he can't supply she can't afford the dvarim ktanim, that's not enough for Chazal to tell us that a nether, which actually midaraisa is a valid nether, should be nullified. Says the Gemara, so what's the point that the Mishnah made of 30 days? Answers the Gemara, until 30 days, people don't hear about it, and therefore she's not that offended that she's being supported through this parnas. However, when it's more than 30 days, it's already embarrassing to her because people hear about it, v'zila b'milsa. And as Machlokes Rishonim, what exactly is the embarrassment? Is the embarrassment that she's being supported from a parnes, or is the embarrassment that people see that she's being supported from a parnes and they come to recognize why is she getting supported from the parnes? It must be because her husband made such a nether, and it's the fact that the nether was made that causes her this embarrassment. Ibai Seima, another way of explaining a Mishnah, is Shadira Kishirusa. That he made the nether when she was an Rusa, and she was not yet an Asua, and so at that point he doesn't have an obligation to support her, and therefore the nether could be Chal. Ask the Gemara, Arusa Misla Mizaina. So why does he have to give her Mizainas at all? So here we have a very fundamental Machlaikus Rashi and Taisus. I don't understand the Gemara. Rashi says that here there is no obligation to support her, Midaraisa, because she's only an Arusa. And even as the Gemara says, Shigiyas Man V'lay Nisu, that we learned earlier in Amasechta, that if the time when the marriage was supposed to take place and the marriage didn't take place, the Tanan, that the Mishnah says Igiyas Man V'Loy Nisu, when the time of marriage comes place and they did not, and the husband did not perform Nisuin, the Loch is at that point Oichlus Mishloah, he has to start supporting her V'Oichlus Betruma, and if the husband's a Kohen, she's even allowed to eat Truma according to the Mishnah Rishayna. So therefore Rashi explains, since this is only a Darabon and the din, this din that we learned in the Mishnah earlier in Amasechta, therefore the Neder could be Chal. So Rashi is actually Lishitosai. In the previous case, where the husband had the obligation with the Raisa to support a wife, that's why the Neder is not Chal. Here, however, where the obligation is only with Rabbanon, the Neder is Chal. Taisus, as I said, disagrees on Rashi. That, and Taisus says that even if the obligation is only midrabbonon, the neder cannot be chal. And in fact, Taisus says that even in the previous piece of Gemara, where they're married, the obligation, according to many tanoim, for a husband to support a wife is only midrabbonon, and still the neder can't be chal. He says the difference between this Gemara, this teretz, and the previous teretz is that in the previous teretz, the husband made the nether after they already had nesuin. So he already had an obligation, albeit according to Taisus, an obligation with Rabbanim to support her, and therefore the Gemara could say that the nether cannot be chal over that obligation. But over here, when the husband made the nether, they were still in the status of erusin, and he did not yet have that obligation. So that's why the nether is chal. Says the Gemara, Omaishna at Shloshim Yoim. So if so, what's the difference for 30 days or more? Answers the Gemara, at Shloshim Yoim, Ovid Shliach Shlichusei. Up to 30 days, we can rely that the Shliach will support her. Tfei, Le Ovid Shliach Shlichusei. More than that, the husband will not, she can't rely on the Shliach. So the Rishonim ask the obvious question. Why did the Gemara have to say this teretz, that up to 30 days we're satisfied with the shliach, past 30 days we're not satisfied with the shliach? Why did the Gemara say, like we said a moment ago, up to 30 days it's loy zila b'milsa, she's not embarrassed, after 30 days she is embarrassed? So the Rishonim answer, a wife is typically supported by a husband when they're nasui, when they have nasuin. So if she's being supported by the shliach, it's very embarrassing. Here she's only an arusa. An arusa don't live together, so she's never supported directly from the husband. So there is no zila b'milsa that she's being supported through a parnas. That's why the Gemara had to come up with the teretz of at shloshim yoyim of a shliach shlichusai. Past that, he doesn't. So now the Rishonim asked the question the other way. Why in the previous Gemara did the Gemara have to come up with the teretz of zila b'milsa? The Gemara could have said the same teretz as it said now, that up to 30 days we can rely on the shliach, and after 30 days we can't rely on the shliach. So Rishonim say, because this teretz of at shloshim yoyim of a shliach shlichusai and tvei le'ovet shliach shlichusai is actually a very difficult teretz for two reasons. Firstly, typically throughout Shas we have a concept of shliach ovet shlichusai. A shliach does his job without that time frame of 30 days. And in fact, many Rishonim say what the Gemara here means, that a shliach doesn't do his shlichus past 30 days, means that of course he'll continue doing his job. He just won't do it as well. He gets somewhat burnt out. Another problem with this teretz is, let's say indeed that a shliach after 30 days stops doing his job. So that shouldn't be a reason to change the system. So get another shliach for the next 30 days. So that's why this teretz of shliach le'ovet shlichusai is an inherently weak teretz. The teretz of zila b'milsa is a much stronger teretz, but it's not applicable in the case of an arusa. V'bai seima, another way of explaining the Mishnah, why the neder is effective. Shidira kishi arusa, the neder was made when she was an arusa, finisis, and then she got married. So since when the neder was made, he wasn't yet obligated to support her, that's why the neder is chal. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, Nissus, if she married him after he took the neder, her sover v'kibla, so she accepted it the way it is. Why is this a situation that we only keep for 30 days? Amra, answer the Gemara, k'suvra nishni choy l'kabel. She says, I thought I could live with such a condition. Achshav, now that we're married, I see en in the yachal kabel, I can't live under these terms. Ask the Gemara, Eimid Amrin Hachi, when is such a concept said in Halacha that the wife could say, I thought I could do it, but I can't? Gabe Mumin. If they have, she thought she could tolerate the Mumin the husband has, and she recognized she can't. Linyam Mizayni. But regarding support, everybody knows, everybody makes the calculation how they're going to live. Mimrin Hacha, El Mechfanta Kishnir Mekara, this teretz the Gemara refutes. And some Rishonim point out, that now the Gemara is not going back to the previous teretz, because as we explained, the previous teretz also was flawed, that the shliach doesn't do the shlichus past 30 days. First of all, why not? And second of all, then appoint another shliach. What the Gemara means when we say, we're going back to the original teretz that we said that it's referring to a situation where he dvarim gedolim and dvarim ktan. So the Mishnah said, "At shloshim yoyim yamid parnas." After 30 days, he should appoint a shliach to support her. Ask the Gemara, "Parnas lav shlichus kavod? What's how is this permissible? The parnas is his shliach." So Rishonim ask, "Why is there not an issue here of ein shliach ledvar aveira?" And therefore, the person, the husband, is not doing an avera. It's the parnas that's doing the avera. So there are a number of answers given. One answer is that, first of all, he could appoint, perhaps as a parnas, a goy. And the concept of en shleich l'dvar avera doesn't apply by a goy. Another teretz is that the parnas is not doing anything wrong. He didn't make a neder. When do we say that if a shliach does an avera at the behest of the mishaleach, do we say en shleich? Ein shliach l'dvar aveira is when for the shliach and the mishaleach it's an Aveira. So we say En Shlich L'Dvar Aveira. But here the Shlich didn't make the nether, so here we don't say the concept, says the Taz, of En Shlich L'Dvar Aveira. Another answer given is that even if we have a concept throughout Halacha of En Shlich L'Dvar Aveira, that doesn't mean that it's 100% permissible. And that's what the Gemara is asking, how could he set up such a situation? Amar Rav Huna, says Rav Huna, it's not where he appointed somebody specifically. We said Kol Hazon Ein Mafsid. He made an announcement, whoever support will not lose it. And the Mefarshim point out, it's odd because he said Kol Hazon, or because he didn't say the word Yazun, he didn't explicitly say that somebody should support her. Ask the Gemara, V'chiyama hachi lav shlichusei kovid, and if somebody makes such a statement, that's not called shlichusei. Vatanan, we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Gittin, Mishayim Mishlich Labar, if somebody was in a pit, Vamakol Shemei Kol, and he said, whoever hears my voice, Yichtav Get Leishta, I should write a get for my wife, Harei Eilu Yichtavu V'yitnu, so we see that's not considered, that is considered a shlichus. Answers the Gemara, Hachi Hashta, can you compare the two cases? Hasum Kama Yichtav, he explicitly said, the person who hears me should write the get. Hachama Yazim, did he say somebody specifically should support? He just said the words Kalazon Kama. Ask the Gemara, Vomer of Ami, Bedleka Tira Loimer, if there's a fire Chas V'Sham on Shabbos, and the non-Jews in the vicinity where there's a fire, he can make an announcement, Kolam Chabe in an Afsid. Whoever will come extinguish the fire will not lose by doing such a thing on my behalf. What do we see? But Leka, only by a fire. Lamuki Mai, Lav Lamutikai Gavna, any other situation such a statement may not make. So the Maloy, Lamuti Sharis of the Shabbos, any other Isser of Shabbos, we can't ask a guy to do with this type of wording. Masav Rava, ask Rava, it says in a Braisa, Hamuda Nam Chaveri, if somebody makes a nether, that his colleague may not have any benefit from him. And this colleague has nothing what to eat. He should go to the storekeeper who he frequents. This person I made another should not have any nor for me. And I don't know how to help him. Who knows? The shopkeeper takes the hint. And this person takes food and he'll repay him. Says the Gemara, Hachu Dishari. Only here is such a situation mutter. Because he didn't say anything that points out that he should support him. Ava kolazon, ain't a mafsid. To make a statement of kolazon, ain't a mafsid. Loi is not permitted. So how could the husband make such a statement here? Says the Gemara, that's not the way to understand that braisa. Loi mebaya kama. Loi mebaya kolazon, ain't a mafsid. Certainly in a situation where he makes a statement, kolazon, ain't a mafsid, del alma kama. He's just making a general statement. That's certainly permissible. Avil hai. In the case of the chanvini, kivin do rogel etzloi because of a kamalei. Since he is very commonly found by this chanvini, commander amalei, once maybe think that when he makes this statement, it's as if he said to him, Zil Havli Atomi, that he's expressly appointing him as an agent. And it should be Asr Kamash Mu'an. That's why he teaches us that even that's permissible. But certainly, the statement of Kol Hazon would be permissible there. And similarly, in our Mishnah, when he appoints the partners, he doesn't appoint them expressly as a Shliach. He just makes this general statement of Kol Hazon Einam Afsid.